You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more. What blood makes noise? It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is The Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to The Common Sense Show, and we are pleased and proud to be coming to you at our new time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. Our special guest is Joseph Meyer from Straight Money Analysis, and I've spent a lot of time on his website. Really good stuff. Newsletter is second to none that's out there. So, Joe, let's take a minute here. And you made a generous offer in the first hour, and we might have some people that just joined us in hour. So let's tell people, you know, what you're offering with your newsletter and what special deal you've made available to Common Sense Show listeners.
Well, what we're offering, Dave, again, because of my respect of you as a radio talk show host, anyone who becomes a subscriber tonight to the newsletter, whether they take a six-month subscription, which is $149.95 for 6 months, or a one-year subscription, which is $259.95 for the year, I will include as a bonus my year-end December 2014 issue of the newsletter, along with my March 2015 issue of the newsletter, along with my June 2015 issue of my newsletter, which was the most recent issue of the newsletter. And I will give every new subscriber a free 30-minute consultation with me to discuss any of the things we discussed on the program tonight or what I write about in the newsletter.
That's worth the price of the newsletter right there. It's just
yes,
it is. Consultation. No, absolutely. Well, let's take a few moments here, Joe, and let's kind of sum up where we've been. People that are just tuning in now and said, oh, gosh, I'm sorry I missed the first hour, and I know the archives are coming out tomorrow, but do not hold me in suspense, Dave. Tell us what you guys talked about in the first hour. What are the important high points that you think that people need to know?
Well, I think we talked about the credit markets now at a turning point. We're certainly witnessing that with Greece and what is ongoing. And, again, I think it's the tip of the iceberg. And I think Greece at some point will leave the European Union and leave the euro as well. But I think if that were to happen, and again, I think the odds of that are very good, we're shortly going to see Spain, Portugal, and Italy follow, and it could lead to a breakup of the European Union itself and the demise of the euro. So I think the economic sands are shifting under our feet. I think we need a fully defensive posture in both the U.S. Debt and equity markets. And I think we have to get defensive, and if we're going to stay in the market, move to the consumer staple stocks, such as the soaps, the food, the beverage stocks, the utilities, the rails, or like the energy sector and the metals. If you don't have a plan, this is the time to do it. I think this market is long overdue for a meaningful correction. No need to stand in front of the train as it's coming down the track. You know, you got to make plans and act accordingly. I think the economy is now re-entering recession, and more importantly, I don't think we ever came out of the last one. So I think we're headed for some interesting times, but I do think these are extraordinary times, and I think they offer extraordinary opportunity if we're able to take advantage of them.
When we look at the credit swap derivatives debt, I was
reading something the other day.
Oh, I know. But I wanted to ask you a real specific and targeted question about this.
Okay.
I read not too long ago that the annual interest, as of today, on the credit swap derivatives for the United States is $505 trillion a year. Do you know if that's accurate?
I can't tell you with certainty whether or not it's accurate, but I certainly wouldn't disbelieve it for a minute.
So you think the idea is basically correct, even if we're not sure of the exact number?
I would believe it. Yes, I would.
And the other thing that, along the same lines, I keep reading different values for how much credit swap derivative debt that we supposedly owe. I don't think we owe anything. I think it's all Wall Street and the bankers. But that aside, I read most often $1.5 quadrillion.
That's the number I have as well, Dave.
Well, what I've also read is the entire GDP of the planet is about $70 trillion, and that's kind of on the high end.
Yes, it is.
How in the world can you possibly pay that off without repudiating the debt?
It's impossible. It cannot be done. Mathematically, it cannot be done.
Then how do we climb out of this abyss?
We don't.
I want to have hope. give me something. Give
buy
me
some
a bone.
That's your hope and put it under the bed.
Oh, my God. I think hope just went down the toilet. Oh, so what would lead to a debt repudiation? Would it have to be a revolution?
Well, I think that could be one of the reasons for it, but I think basically debt repudiation happens when the people no longer accept the sovereign currency. They'll no longer act in commerce and trade using the currency. I think that's the key to it.
You just triggered another question of mine that I've talked a lot about, and I don't know if I'm going off half-cocked when I say this, but this is what makes sense to me. I tell people, don't go to the Walmarts, the Kmarts, the other slave marts. Get as much money out of the bank as you can, get into precious metals, buy food for long-term survival along with water and a way to treat it, a way to protect it. So, yes, I'm talking guns and ammo, and I'm talking about doing trading and bartering and basically getting outside the system that the bankers control. Okay, how crazy is that, and what kind of adjustments would you make to that statement?
It's not only reality. I think you've covered all the bases, and I think you've formulated an excellent plan that most people can take and build upon for their own needs. Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, because it's hard for the government, who's acting at the behest of the bankers, it's hard for them to rule over and dictate to people who are indifferent and who are leaving their system. See, it's almost
agree with you more.
Yeah, it's almost a Mahatma Gandhi kind of approach. How do you resist? Through non-participation. And to me, that's what has always made the most sense. Yeah, civil disobedience, but silent civil disobedience. I think the government likes it. If we were to all gather in mass in the capitals of our various states and say, hell no, we won't go, we're not paying your taxes, they would love the ability to show their power, trot out the military, and suppress that kind of demonstration.
Well, no one's going to do it, and you and I know it.
Oh, I know that, but I'm just saying they would love to see that. But I think really what's more effective is we just do nothing. Don't play their game. It's kind of like what we did as kids. If we didn't get our way and we were spoiled brats, we took our ball and went home.
Well, you know, I think the biggest concern, and we touched upon it briefly this evening, is retirement for the average American.
Yeah.
When I was young and growing up, we used to see people retire, sit on their porch, smoke their pipe, and drink coffee and read the paper. People today, if they're retired, a lot of them are very concerned they'll outlive their money. They're very concerned that their pension will continue. And some of them are concerned if they have to go back to work, where will they find employment? You go in these stores and you see people working, stocking the shelves in these stores that honestly you're shaking your head and you're saying to yourself, what are these people doing still working?
Yes.
Well, the point is they couldn't live on their retirement and or exhausted their retirement and they had to go back to work. And these jobs were the only jobs that would hire them. So they're minimum wage jobs. The benefits are probably very small, if any. And that has become the new American dream. You outlive your retirement and you have to go back work a minimum wage job. I think that's the nightmare everybody is in fear of living.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, this is crazy to even say this, but as you were speaking about older people and retirement, outliving their savings, and in some people's view of society, outliving their usefulness, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying some of the people that subscribe to Fabian socialist belief would say that. I almost... Do you remember that movie Logan's Run from the 70s where everyone over 30 got executed?
I turned 30 in 1976. I remember the movie very well.
Well, Joe,
I got a message.
I know we're laughing, but we might be laughing at someone's sense of reality. I mean, a good world war would kind of thin out the herd.
And, you know, I've often said as we get older, we really don't have to fear old age because all of us have talent, wisdom, and knowledge, and no one can strip that away from us.
Right.
Yes, we can lose our money. Yes, we can have health crises. But at the end of the day, no one can steal from us what's in our head and what we know. And we've got more talent now on the sidelines that could contribute and really make a difference to turn this country around. And they'd be motivated to do it if they had a catalyst which would let them to live to believe they could bring change about and make it happen. I know I've got the talent and the knowledge, and so do you, and we're willing to share what we know in the hopes of giving people a better life and making this a better world. We need more of that, Dave.
Yeah, but I just, the wealth distribution in this country, or better said, the wealth redistribution in this country is so heinous, and it's so robbed people of opportunity that I just look at, I mean, all I want is for my son to have a chance. I want other people's kids to have a chance.
The chance we had.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to see this unless we roll up our sleeves and make this change happen. I'm almost of the opinion we have to let this system collapse, or even force it to collapse through non-participation, and then we pick up the rubble and go from there and rebuild how it should be. Boy,
it's
going to
collapse under its own weight. There is no way this system can continue down the road that it's been on all these years. This buildup of all this tremendous debt, it has to come to an end.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't even pay the interest on the debt. Forget about ever paying it back. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree, and like the great phoenix will rise out of the ashes. Well, Joe,
you know, when Ronald Reagan was president in 1980, you know the national debt was $1 trillion. It's now $18 trillion. It's 18 times the debt that Ronald Reagan had in 1980. When John Kennedy was president, I did the research in the newsletter. You know what our national debt was? $278 million. Billion dollars.
Yeah, the cost of almost one F-35 now.
Vietnam War cost $800 billion. That money could have went into turning around the infrastructure and giving us all a better life. It was spent in Vietnam in a decade.
Oh, but Chase Manhattan Bank and Chrysler and Bell Helicopter, they wouldn't have got to make all that money had we not had Vietnam.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that takes us down a whole different road. Joe, you've been a tremendous resource to this show. I certainly hope we can get you on more frequently because I admit when you come on, it's not good for my sleep. And Katie Whalen, our health director, she's already on my case about lack of sleep. But I agree with you, Joe. I can't argue. All my questions tonight, to one level or another, came from the light of, well, what about this? Can we try this? How about Plan B? How about Plan Triple Z? And
right,
as we weaved our way through this, a lot of the escape avenues are gone. What we can only do is individually prepare because we are going to see a collapse. Would you agree with that?
There are a lot of things we can't do, but there are a lot of things we can do. And we have to do the things we can do if we're going to survive what's coming, Dave.
Amazing. Well, Joe, thanks for joining us. Again, straightmoneyanalysis.com. He's got the special offer with regard to his free consultation if you subscribe to his newsletter, as well as the free issues he'll make available. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, Joe. Wow. Let's bring Katie in for a second. Katie, are you there? Katie? Okay, we'll come back to Katie. Oh, you are there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, did this have a similar effect on you as I just expressed it had on me?
Well, of course, yes, it did. And when we were talking through the break, I had brought up the idea of perhaps why some of this is happening and how do we get out of it. I love Joseph's attitude. He's hopeful, he still has hope that, yeah, we can turn this around. I'm not sure if that's possible, but I love that thinking, and I have my ideas on perhaps why it's not springing back. There just isn't any fight amongst the population. It's like we've just laid down and we're just taking it. So
yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, and it's what we've talked about on the show. I mean, in your health segments, the fluoride, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Katie, I think this is a good time for me to bring up what I have discovered.
Okay.
And I have, yeah. You know where I'm going with this.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that, when I get insider information, as I did with Benghazi, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I was 4 to 6 months ahead of most other people on the near coup, the almost military coup we had in Benghazi, because I had sources in the right place. In fact, I sat on the story for 2 weeks because I couldn't validate it with other sources, which is what I always try to do. And one of my insider sources who's still with me today has been with me really for 12 years of friendship and 8 years of information dissemination. He told me, he says, you want any more information from me? He says, you need to go with this. People need to know that the military is waiting for the people to stand behind them. That was Benghazi. Well, I'm going to propose something to you here that is not, I think, quite as earth-shattering as Benghazi. Well, it might be. It's bad, folks. It's really bad. And I've been able to double-source this information, and I've got someone on the inside who is close to this, and who is a first-time source, but one of my long-term sources has validated what he says. He believes this is very much true for a whole lot of different reasons. And unfortunately, I can't find validating and coordinated evidence that I can put alongside of it parallel. And so you see, this just increases the likelihood through the preponderance of the evidence. Now, with that long-winded disclaimer, let me tell you what I've been told. And I should say that I'm not shocked, but the event is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
3 days ago, an Iraqi general flying out of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base lost control of his F-16 and crashed near the Mexican border. And the first releases to the media, and this is where we can kind of get into how credible is the mainstream media, said that they were looking for his body. And I say, bullcrap. That body was found still attached to his pilot's chair, strapped in, badly charred from the flames. He did not have time. And what I was told is that flight pattern that he was on, he was probably anywhere between 10 and 12,000 feet. And he did not have time to eject. He did not have time to issue a Mayday call. Now, I don't care if the Air Force comes out with a fake Mayday call down the road, but there are a couple of different factors here that I've uncovered in my investigation. One is this Iraqi general is an enemy of ISIS. He's part of the Iraqi military. And we know about the conflicts going on in Iraq with ISIS. We also know through Judicial Watch documents and Freedom of Information Act discoveries that ISIS maintains at least one base camp 8 miles from El Paso, 3 miles on the other side of the Mexican border. I've written about this ad nauseum. I've also been told there are as many as 4 ISIS base camps along the border. I've also had it confirmed through the Roberts Report that there are almost 50 miles of totally unguarded border where you can't find a Border Patrol agent if you wanted to. This is straight along the border. So having said all that, here's what I've been told. I've been told that the reason there wasn't a Mayday call is that general didn't have a chance to make it and could not make it. Why? Because the investigators are working on the premise that this plane was brought down with a localized EMP burst. And these localized EMP weapons, the Russians have them. They have a multitude of them. And this is something that I've heard from several military sources, that they have the ability to bring down drones, helicopters, and planes.
That is amazing.
And this is what I've been told now by two sources, is what the prevailing thinking is about what happened. But let's talk about what the implication is. Because you see, the implication is always bigger than the actual event itself. The man did not attempt to eject. That's come out, and that's what I've been told. Would an EMP affect that? This is what we're trying to nail down. And this gets into how much do hydraulics need electronics. Because, as you know, EMP wipes out electronics. Mm-hmm. So that's a point I'm not willing to hang my hat on here, but the preliminary thinking is, yeah, this weapon would basically keep a pilot right in his place. No communication, oxygen system cut off. I mean, there is some portable manual backup for oxygen, from what I understand. Do not know if it was on this flight. So, and as I keep talking, I'll show some of my gross ignorance on the topic. So I'm going to stick to exactly what I've been told, is that the thinking is this. Let's cover the chain of custody here very quickly before we go to break. And the chain of custody is this. You've got a situation where we know that the Russians supply Hamas and Hezbollah with weapons. A lot of these make their way into Latin America through the Sanchez Paredes drug cartel in Peru, which is basically the Peruvian military that we have trained, and their national bank and base camps train terrorists and the Mexican drug cartel members at San Salvador, base camps outside San Salvador. And ISIS is part of this formula, because ISIS, according to the Judicial Watch report, is tied in now with the Mexican drug cartels. Unmistakable. So was it ISIS that brought down this plane? And was it targeted because this was an Iraqi general? And also, are they beta testing the weapon? And are they sending a clear message? And how much are we in danger of having an airliner taken down in this fashion? Now, do you think you're going to see this tomorrow on CNN? Do you think you're going to get an explanation on why this pilot didn't even attempt to bail out? On why this pilot didn't even issue a mayday call? I think not. And I'm telling you, the two sources that I've been speaking with repetitively are firm on this point, that this is exactly how it went down. I'm going to be writing about this tomorrow along with some other related things. We're moving towards World War III, folks.
This is big
stuff.
Stay
tuned. It's unbelievably bad stuff. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back after a word for new sponsors. Well, you just heard one of the most respected economists in the country, if not the world, Joseph Meyer, a man who I have just an unlimited amount of personal and professional respect for, tell us, you better get in gold and silver. And even if you can only afford a small amount, do what you can do. You've got people out there who will work with your budget. You've got people out there who will spend time on the phone with you, who care about making a good deal for you. Because if they make bad deals for people, they quickly go out of business. And that's not the case with my good friend, Steve Quayle, who, by the way, will be back on our show on July 19th. Steve Quayle brings experience you can trust. Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals have over 34 years of experience. You don't stay in business that long unless you're helping people. And take it from me, Dave Hodges, I'm a customer of Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. And I'm a proud customer. And I can tell you, Steve will treat you like you're his own. He will take time to talk to you about options, about what your options are for buying and what best fits your budget. He's very, very meticulous in how he sets these deals up. And for Common Sense Show listeners, once the deal's consummated, he will give you free overnight shipping. Free overnight shipping. How do you take advantage of this? Well, you call my friend Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Well, we've got waiting in the green room, as they say, my good friend Ted Brower, Dr. Ted Brower. Don't want to minimize his professional credentials because of Ted. I'm walking without a limp today. And that's really no laughing matter. I have I've got this little Fitbit meter, and I've done this thing this week 6 days in a row, and I took a day off today, but 10,000 steps each day, and been putting on my body between 5 and 6 miles, not to mention the rehab work I've been doing on my knee injury with a torn ligament, and I've really responded. But today my body said, I don't think so. And my son and I said, you know, let's cancel golf today. Let's take a day off and let our bodies rest and recuperate, which we've done. Ted is just a wealth of information, and I am really proud and pleased that he and I are now colleagues together, as he is broadcasting right here on this network Monday through Friday afternoon, just prior to drive time. And Ted's going to come on, and he's going to talk about his show. And he's kind of starting from the bottom, going to work his way up because I'm his first guest, and I'll be on tomorrow. And so you hear Ted laughing in the background, so let me bring Ted on. Ted, thanks for coming on, and let's talk about your show. Let's get right down to it. What kinds of things are you going to do, and why should people want to listen?
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks so much. In fact, I'm glad to be on the network with you. What we're having is a show that's 1 hour. It's from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, so everybody can reach it, you know, not late at night or early in the morning. And I just wanted to get a back-to-basics program for an hour. And what we're doing is we're doing all the information on what's going on with Jade Helm. We're going into detail on what's going on with the economy. We're talking about health and nutrition. We're talking about the types of protocols that you're following with your knee, as far as now at healthmasters.com. We've got the Dave Hodges Healthy Joint Program, and we've got the Healthy Blood Sugar Program with Hagman on there. So we've got all kinds of great information in a free newsletter on healthmasters.com. But what we're doing is, I didn't want to do a 3 or 4 or 5 hour show or whatever. I don't have time to do that, Dave. I'm really, really busy, especially with the office going like it is and all the travel stuff that I have to do. But what I wanted to do was to stay in touch with the people that I know that have supported us over the years and have asked me repeatedly, will you please start your own show? You know, we like your twist on the news, because I'm really kind of like unabashedly Christian, and I really enjoy talking about Jesus Christ, and I love talking about my faith and what it's done for me and how it's changed my life. Plus, I also like talking about what the globalists have done and what they're trying to do, and I try to tie it all together with Genesis chapter 6, the Bible, the New World Order, this group of Luciferian or Satanists that are running around the planet doing all this mischief right now that are really bad people. I mean, these people are just totally evil to the core. And we don't realize how bad they are because we're not like that. I had a friend of mine say one time, well, they can't be that bad. I'm like, well, no, because you're not that bad. You don't think they're that bad, but they really are that bad. They want to bring humanity down to its knees. They want to reduce the population of the planet to 500 million people, and that's their plan. I heard a really good show the other day with Hagman and Hagman and the All News Pipelines also talking about it. I'm sure you've already covered it, Dave, but how Jade Helm is basically a mass information, you know, input into some huge quantum computer they're building. They're almost building. Remember that movie Terminator? Remember that one company was called Cyberdyne? And yes. Cyberdyne was building the network that they were using to control the globe as far as the technology that was available to them in the future, which is now, that was able to take them to the artificial intelligence computers and give them the ability to go ahead and turn the entire planet as far as the defense of the power grids, everything over to the planet. And that's what they're doing. Basically, they're building Cyberdyne. They're building a quantum computer, according to the research that I've done that was on the Hagma show last week, and I'm sure you've already covered this, that's going to be able to react instantaneously without any time delay whatsoever and send out kill squads if it chooses to do so. I mean, this whole thing is insanity. They're doing it. I guess it's called conquering the human domain, and they want to go in and just control every aspect of humanity, from the food to the water to everything that we do. And, Dave, it's kind of sad because unless we do something pretty quick, they're actually going to do this.
Yeah, let me speak to that for a second. I wrote an article today where I detailed how in both Great Britain and here in the United States, we're seeing abandoned strip malls turned into FEMA camps. And don't take my word for it. I have the pictures. People have cared enough. People inside the UK and also people up in Washington State right next to the Canadian border have detailed this. And then you add that to the fact that Jade Helm personnel have been redistributed all across the country, as well as UN assets and resources, so they can move on a moment's notice. So, Ted, when you're saying they can send out the death squads, the kill squads, and the arresting squads, this is what we're talking about. They're positioning to be in place to respond to any kind of threat in a moment's notice.
That's exactly right. They're also doing like the Minority Report. They're going to start doing these preemptive strikes and preemptive arrests. And I mean, it's the whole thing. The whole Constitution is gone. And the whole thing is, yeah. we're going to have to get rid of this entire government. They've all got to be impeached. They've all got to be thrown out. This is total insanity. Now with this fast track, now they're trying to get this Trans-Pacific Partnership back on track again to get it pushed through. And it's all part of this Jade Helm, this massive quantum computing that they want to do, and the control of humanity and mastering the human domain. They really want to do research is what makes us tick, the soul. And it all goes back to transhumanism again that Tom Horn has talked about so many times, and Steve Quayle's talked about. It goes back to the fact that they're so hacked off, these Luciferians are, they can't figure out how the human soul works, that if they can't basically know how to recreate God's creation, they would rather just destroy it. And the sad part about all of this is that, it doesn't have to be this way. And that last episode with Hagman, with that lady who came on and was talking about this, and it was, like I said, it was written back up in the All News Pipeline. Everybody needs to listen to it. It's a 3-hour broadcast. It'll take a little bit of time, but you need to look at the way she's laid everything out. In addition to that, I talked to one of my friends last night in South Carolina. He's a constable in South Carolina. And here's what's interesting about him. He's wide awake, and he told me, he said, the night before the shooting in Charleston, the day before, they had a huge meeting of all the law enforcement personnel in the state of South Carolina warning them about what to do and how to handle racial shootings and racial confrontations and what would happen if there was a mass shooting, in South Carolina. The day before, Dave.
Yeah, that's like the 9/11 drill that was going on.
Oh, no, it's just insanity. I asked him if he would actually write a letter to you, send you an email. And I think he'll do it, but he's going to have to, because of his position there, he's going to have to do it anonymously. But the sad part about this is it's not getting any better. It's just that the whole country is like going to hell in a handbasket, and we're all sitting here trying to stop it, but the vast majority of the population has not reached the tipping point yet. And I believe that Jade Helm is designed to prevent it from ever reaching the tipping point as far as they're concerned, Dave.
Well, Jade Helm is a preemptive move to prevent a pushback from the people. There's no
question
about that. Along those lines of what you're saying about law enforcement, I had the most interesting phone call last night. A gentleman who's in law enforcement, and I'll just say California. I don't even want to narrow it down. I know his name. I have his number. And he's been a veteran for quite a while. And I'm really kind of choosing my words carefully here because I don't want to reveal his identity yet. He's a few years away from retirement, but the Lord has spoken to him. And the Lord has told him, you need to get out of the country, and you need to get out immediately. And we spent a little time talking last night, and he shared with me that it's a great financial deficit for him to leave, given the fact that he's getting closer to retirement. But he said it's screaming in his ears that this fall could really be nasty. And so, law enforcement people across the country, they may get prophetic visions, they may have dreams, and they may have insider information. But, Ted, we're hearing this from a lot of people in positions of power. In fact, actually, when I run most of my stories now on Jade Helm, at least half of it is coming from family members or of Jade Helm participants or Jade Helm participants themselves that don't like what's going on.
Well, no, that's exactly right. The only problem as far as leaving the country, this global grid that they're developing, they're going to have nodes in every country, and they're using airplanes now flying over and actually recording all the information off the smartphones, off the iPads, off the computer systems, and all the stuff that you're doing, everything, every email you send out, every text message you send out. And that's what this lady on was talking about on the Hagman show. She said that this quantum computer is so fast and it's so much more advanced than anything that we have. It's almost like it's extraterrestrial, so to speak. That's the term I'm using for it. And so it's almost as though it can do anything it wants to do. It's artificial intelligence. It's so smart. And it's kind of sad because, we knew this was coming with George Orwell in 1984. We knew that was going to be a possibility, but we never realized it would come to us with such a vengeance and such a, go out and start doing all these horrible things. But the problem is if you leave the country, Dave, and I've been to a lot of different countries around the world in my travels and in my books that I've written and my lectures that I've given, And the only place that I know that you could actually go would be Switzerland, and it's very, very difficult to get into that country with any kind of extended visa or stay, unless you're doing it for, you know, religious persecution, not religious persecution, but political persecution. You have to be there for years and years and years before you get a citizenship there in Switzerland, and you can only stay there for like 90 days before they boot you out, and they're real, real strict. I mean, I don't know where else to go. The Central American countries, that they're always in turmoil. The South American countries, they're always in turmoil. You know, all, you know, New Zealand is the crown colony from Great Britain along with Australia, and England is, you know, pretty much controlling all of those places still. We know that either directly or indirectly. So I don't know. Where would you suggest that people go? I guess you could go to Russia, but if we start a war with Russia, that's not going to help. I mean, so I don't know, Dave. What do you think?
Well, my feeling is New Zealand's at the top of the list. The problem is they have an age bias. They want people very, very young. They want people with specific skill sets. So if you're a doctor or a microbiologist, they would like to have you. For most of us, they don't want us there. They do not want us there. Australia is another opportunity, but the Australians have signed agreements with the Chinese. And that scares me. And Australia really has become the quintessential Agenda 21 colony.
I agree with that. I've been to Australia and I've been to New Zealand. I've been to both those that continent and those islands, and it's interesting that both of the cultures are very, very similar, a lot of the crown colonies. I've been to Switzerland multiple times, Germany. The only place that I know that I would actually, you know, fit in there as far as that would be either New Zealand, but there's not a whole lot of New Zealand. There's not a lot of population there. It's very, very desolate, very remote, probably pretty safe actually. If you actually got in the inner part of the islands up in the mountainous areas with all the reindeer and sheep, there's a lot of reindeer and a lot of sheep, but they won't even allow nuclear carriers or any nuclear, you know, anything into the country. I mean, you can't even bring a nuclear powered ship and dock it in New Zealand. People don't even realize that. They're that strict as far as their environment. So New Zealand's a good alternative, but again, it's just the England crown colony. I'm not sure how much England still controls that, and they're very strict again with their gun laws, et cetera. So, but of course, they have very little crime there, so you really don't have to worry about having a lot of guns unless the government goes tyrannical with you down there also. So Switzerland was a good move as far as doing that, but that's very, very expensive to live there and very, very restrictive as far as letting you go in.
Well, as we move towards World War III, Europe is going to be ravaged. And I don't know anywhere in Europe that could guarantee you to be safe, even Switzerland. Because the Swiss used to be left alone because of the banks. But the banks have been so diversified around the planet now that I don't know that the Swiss have that built-in protection. What do you think?
Well, the Bank of International Settlements is there, and that's kind of like
true.
In fact, if you want to read a really good book, you may have already read it. It's called The Tower of Basel, and it talks about how the Bank of International, it's basically the central bank's bank, and again, it's another big Rothschild banking cartel, and it kind of controls all the Rothschild banking cartels. It's in Basel, Switzerland, and, you know, there's a lot of money, a lot of gold, a lot of stuff in Switzerland, a lot of very important people have fled, you know, Israel now. A lot of the billionaires are gone and they have moved back to Switzerland, or they've gone to New Zealand, or they've left the islands. I think from a nuclear war standpoint, if you're looking at fallout only as far as decimation, I think you're probably going to be better off in New Zealand because there's really no strategic targets to strike in New Zealand at all.
Well,
so, I mean,
yeah.
Nobody really cares about going out there and nuking New Zealand. But
in
Switzerland, I'm not sure. You know, Switzerland's pretty mountainous. They've got a lot of caves, and they've got a lot of bomb shelters built under the home still from World War II. Because, you know, it's not like it is in this country where you have all these new subdivisions popping up all the time. They've dealt with a very small geographical area for a long time, and all the citizens of Switzerland are armed. So, you know, that's part of the training they have to do. They have to go to gun training like 3 days a year, you know, the men in the country that are of age. And they have to do that every year, and so that's pretty interesting, actually. And so they keep the guns, they keep the weapons in their home. So it's a pretty safe country. But again, I don't know what would happen in a nuclear blast. But I'm not sure we're going to go to nuclear war. It may go to something, but they may tell us we went to nuclear war. And it may not be a nuclear war. They may detonate a few something or others here and there. But I don't think we're going to go to nuclear war. I think we may have some other stuff going on, Dave. You know, I think they got some space-based weapons platforms that can lay entire regions to waste. I know I was listening to Jesse Ventura one time on his conspiracy theory show, and he was talking to one of the guys that actually built the Star Wars protocol with Reagan. And he said they've got space-based weapons now that are so powerful they can lay entire regions to waste, not just cities but regions. And so I don't think they really need to start doing the nuking, but I'm not saying they're not going to do something with those space-based weapons and or in EMP or whatever. But it's going to be pretty bad if they start that up, because there's a lot of people over in Europe now. A lot of them come over, and they've immigrated back into Europe from all over the world. And there's a very high probability that there's going to be a lot of people dying all over the globe if this happens. And I mean, the space-based weaponry. And look at the Deagle statistics and forecasts saying the population of our country is going to be down by, what, several hundred million or whatever.
Yeah, by 90%.
By 2025. Yep. By 2025. I mean, how in the world were they cutting? You know, you can't get those people to answer any questions as to why they're putting those projections out there. And now they're closing off that website, so you can't look at it. So they know something's coming. They already know the quantum computing and all this that they're doing and all the big systems they have as far as forecast models. That's what's happening here. Everything's a giant forecast model. They want to control every aspect of your life, what you eat, what you breathe, what you drink, what you breathe, everything they want to control. They want to force you to do the GMOs. They want to control the population. And that's what this whole thing's going to. It's going to a complete and total tyranny in every aspect of our life, Dave. It's going to be absolutely awful. Really, I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, I'm glad I'm alive now, because I'd rather be alive than dead. But the point is, it's a very exciting time to be alive. You can't be asleep and bored right now. If you're asleep and bored right now, there's something wrong with you, okay? Because there's so much stuff happening right now that, you know, everybody's staying on their toes. But it's very interesting, though. We've got to remember, these fallen angels, if you want to call them that, from Genesis chapter 6, that have been running around doing a bunch of mischief ever since, you know, the flood with Noah. You know, these guys kind of trawl the earth, so to speak, for low energy frequency, and which is the fear, the hate, the resentment, the bitterness, the rage. And that's the whole thing the media tries to do, is keep us in all of this negative state of energy all of the time. And the truth is this. You know, perfect love casts out fear. That's what the Bible says. So we can't be fearful of what's about to come. We can be prepared. You know, we can store up supplements for vitamins and provisions and water and food. We can do all of that. But to walk in fear every single day for the rest of our life doesn't do anything. It does absolutely nothing. I'd rather have you do action than be fearful, because the main people who get fearful are the ones who are refusing to do anything. They get caught like a deer in the headlights, and they simply don't know what to do. They don't have to go to the left or to the right, or they don't know what to do. They freeze, and then that learned helplessness kicks in, and they just don't do anything, and they let the government take care of them. And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on everybody being trained now like Pavlovian dogs, you know, about with the learned helplessness, and they simply won't do anything. They just freeze. And that's the bulk of the population in the United States that's been caused by statin drugs. It's been caused by fluoride in the water. It's been caused by tricyclic antidepressant and serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs. It's been caused by all of these different medications that were being given on an ongoing basis, including huge amounts of mercury, thimerosal, and aluminum that's been injected into us via flu shots and through all these different immunizations these children have had. We've had a massive drop in IQ scores in the United States in the last 50, 60 years, and it's only going to get worse. Because the sheeple have been dumbed down. It was their intent. Common Core is dumbing them down even more. People simply can't think any longer. They can't go through complex rational thought and try to figure themselves out of a problem. They'd rather just stand there and look at the government in a stupor and say, please help me, send me an Obama phone, and send me Obama health care. That's all they care about. As long as they're getting their government subsidies, which is 50% of the population right now, they don't care what happens as long as they keep getting money from the government. And that's sad, Dave, but that's the truth.
No, I agree. Backing up to where to go, since I wrote an article on if you're in these two groups, you might try to think about leaving. I've heard from people from Ecuador, Paraguay, and we're talking about expats, who say they'll hook me up, and they're looking for a venue to express their service. But here's the problem. These countries are banana republics, and banana republics can turn on you quicker than what we're seeing here with Jade Helm. I don't think those are safe havens. Right. I mean, do you look at Ecuador, for example, as a safe haven?
No, I've been there. I've actually traveled throughout all of South America looking for a safe haven. I even went down to Galt's Gulch down in Chile, which is that big scam thing they did a few years ago in which they decided to put together, you know, Galt's Gulch is the mythical place of Atlas Shrugged. And they actually built a gulch there, and we went down there, and I had a good friend of mine who's a State Farm representative, and he asked me, he made a reservation to go look at this facility they had built. And so we ended up driving like 2 hours out in the middle of nowhere, and the brochures were this lush tropical rainforest, you know, in southern Chile that was absolutely beautiful. They had put all this money into the infrastructure. And we get out there, and there's a doggone cattle gate to get in. A cattle gate, Dave. We've got to get out with a padlock and unhook the chain. And I told the guy, I said, where's the entrance? And they go, oh, we're building that. I said, where are the roads? Oh, we're building those. I said, where's the power coming into this place? Oh, we're building that. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I looked at my buddy John, and I said, they're running a scam. They're trying to get us to throw money. They're trying to get rich gringos down here to throw money into this Gulf Gulch thing, and basically there's nothing here. And the guy goes, well, I said, how big of a development have you done before? And he said, well, I've done 100 acres. This is like over 100,000 acres. And I said, you've done 100-acre development, now you're going to be doing 100,000 acres? I said, you realize how much money it's going to cost just to run the roads and the underground utilities and the infrastructure into this? I said, you could be spending hundreds of millions of dollars of this month's property to do this. And, of course, it ended up, the whole thing hit the paper within a year after we came back. The whole thing was a scam. All those people who put all that money in there lost almost all their investments, and it was just what it was. And so you're absolutely right. When you go to the third world countries, it's like that. Now, there's certain parts of Chile. There's a place called Portimão, Chile, which is pretty doggone nice. I like that place. That's in the southern part of Chile. It was very, very nice. Uruguay and Ecuador and Argentina, we were there. No way I'd go there. No way I'd want to live there. Then we went all the way up the coast up Ecuador, and we also did the Colombia, all that stuff. I would have no interest in that. It gets so unbearably hot in Ecuador, unless you're up in the mountains in Colombia. Maybe Costa Rica. Costa Rica, I've been there. That's pretty good. That seems to be pretty stable. There are a lot of expats in Costa Rica. That might be okay, especially up in San Jose, up in the mountains, because it stays pretty cool there year-round. But otherwise, when you get close to the equator down there, it gets unbearably hot. I don't think people realize how hot gets, because I'm from Florida, and it's a lot hotter down there, especially with the humidity. So I would have no interest. But the southern part of Chile was real nice. New Zealand was really nice. Australia was pretty dry, pretty hot. But New Zealand was really lush and moist. It was really a beautiful place. And so my three choices would probably be Costa Rica, New Zealand, and Switzerland. And that'd be about it. I would also consider Russia, because some of Russia is absolutely gorgeous, and you still have they're actually turned to more of a Christian country than we are. And so I think that Ted, the leader over there, I believe that Putin yep. has done a lot of good for that country. But again, he's a communist, and he's KGB. You can't trust him. You don't know what they're going to do. So those are my three choices: Costa Rica, Switzerland, and New Zealand. And
you go to Russia, my friend, you could end up being rounded up.
You're probably right.
As an American,
round up the Americans.
I mean, FEMA camp Russia style. I mean, that's what I think would end up happening.
Hey, let me
shift gears on you for a minute. I already know the answer to the question, but let's talk about implications of the gay marriage ruling by the Supreme Court.
The biggest implication is, Judge Roberts already said this in his dissenting opinion. He said that the Supreme Court now, he said that a church, if they refuse to marry somebody who's gay, that they could end up losing their 501(c) status. That's
good.
The biggest implication you're going to have. Yeah, well, I think so, too. I think that's great. And they can also end up getting themselves sued, like that cake baker did out there. And, you know, well, that's happened all over the planet now. And so, and the thing about that is, and we need to realize, what are these stupid, spineless, lace panty wearing preachers who won't tell the pastor, the people, the truth about what's going on, who say, God loves you and so do I, send me money and you'll be blessed? I mean, I can't even believe these guys are on TV doing stuff like that, and the local congregation is doing that, and they won't tell the people the truth about what's going on. And they don't want to know the truth. You try to send them an email, that's too negative, I don't want to hear it. Well, I got a newsflash for you. The book of Revelation is not happy, happy. I'm going to repeat that. The book of Revelation is not happy, happy. And, you know, and so people need to understand that this is something that we need to be aware of, and we don't need to be dwelling on it or be living in fear about it, but we need to take preparation and precaution. I wrote an email, you can actually read that at my website, healthmasters.com, and I said, should Americans store food? You know, like storable food, like the 20-year shelf life food. And my response was absolutely yes, because you don't know what's going to happen if you have a supply line disruption. I mean, I got four kids. I got a 12, 14, and 16-year-old and a 27-year-old who's fully prepared. But the other three young ones, I've got to feed those kids. They're my responsibility. I've got to take care of them. I mean, you know how quickly the grocery store shelves are going to empty out in case of an emergency? It'll be a matter of a couple of hours. We see that in Florida every time we have a storm come in. And the sad part about it is we live here in Florida. We have power go out for a week at a time. I've already got a generator. I had all that stuff before all this other mess started. Because I know you have to be prepared for a storm or for something that happens in a supply chain. So, yes, Christians should store food. I don't think you should be storing food that has soy products in it. You shouldn't be storing food that, you know, has got GMOs and all that stuff. That's why we have storable food on the website that basically doesn't have any soy in it. It has some lecithin in it, which is a soy byproduct, but that's not soy. And so we don't do the soy protein powder isolates. We don't do those at all. And we make sure the food, we try to get everything we can non-GMO. So that's the thing, and we don't put any pork or trans fats in any of our foods. We don't let any of that stuff get in there because it's so poisonous for your body. But people need to realize, Dave, have 30 days worth of food stored up. Have an alternative water source. Have something, because that's going to be the easiest way they can raid you, they can round up the dissidents or anybody for the concentration or to the FEMA camps, is to say, look, we have food over here, you got to get on the bus, hop on the bus, we'll take you over, we'll feed you and your family. And the people are just willingly hop on the buses, like the Jews hopped on the train and the Germans hopped on the trains because they were going to be relocated. They didn't know they were going to concentration camps when they took off like that. They didn't know what the final outcome was going to be. They didn't know what Hitler's final solution was. They didn't have any idea what that stuff was going on. And that's the same thing. These people just climb on the buses and climb on the boats and climb on the planes and the trains, and they'll be thinking, oh, we're going to a place that has all this food. And when you get there, they'll make sure they strip search you, cavity search you, you know, x-ray you, make sure you're not bringing any weapons in there with you, and they'll have their way with you like the Nazis did in World War II and like the Russians did in World War II, like the Russians did with the Bolshevik Revolution when tens of millions of Russians were murdered, primarily Christians and Catholics. And see, people don't understand that people are bad. These people are not good people. They don't care about you or your family or your loved ones. So yes, Christians should store food. They should store water. And if you haven't got 30 days worth of food stored right now, shame on you. Go buy some canned goods, for heaven's sakes. Go buy some bottled water. Do something.
Get a Milky Way candy bar. We're going to step aside for a break. Folks, you're getting a taste of what you're going to hear on Dr. Ted Brewer's show. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the show end of things and a little bit more about what you're going to expect here. And we'll talk about healthmasters.com and all that good stuff. So stay tuned, and we will come back. We will see you in hour number three. And Katie will join us for her health report at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, hey, Katie, I'm here preaching and fussing again.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself. Even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.